start and we'll try our level best we can, but make a bit lighter this side, particularly those who are going to be reading and presenting. We wanted them to see what they are presenting. On our agenda, we agreed yesterday that we will start with the what we call the Covenant Framework Amendment to the National Council of Provinces. They made some amendments on all the question of core and sand traditionalism. Can we agree that we start with that one? It's not going to take us long. The lawyer of parliament is here. And then immediately after that, then we go to now we can still sit here. Otherwise we'll be up and down. We don't have a good day like that.
Thanks, Jay. And wonderful news. We can't hear you properly, but you said we can go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Jay, I assume members do have the final version of the bill, which is the T version, as it came from the NGOP. The amendments affected by the NCOP, by the Select Committee, there are three things that they've done. The one is purely technical. All the references to this bill being a 2017 bill were changed to 2018. So, a couple of places where they've done. Then, secondly, Chair, if you look for the D version of the bill in clause 1, from line 17 to 21. What they've done, you will remember, honourable members will remember that we extended the terms in terms of which kingship and kingship councils can be established. And the bill, as it was, as it went through the National Assembly, made provision for the kingship and kingship councils that were that should be established, or those kingships that were confirmed by decisions of the Classical Commission, as well as those that may be established later on in terms of the recognition process. But you honourable members will also remember that this bill was a priority bill and it was supposed to be done by August last year already. So what we have realised during the NCOP process is that the provisions that are in here will cover all kingships to be established except the voluntary queenship are going to fall outside the AB provision. So the NCOP agreed and they added that on the clause 1, they added that paragraph C that you will find from page, on that page from line 17 to 21 to make provision for voluntary specifically, so that that breach of council can also be established. And then, Chair, the third thing that they changed, you will find on page 3 of the D version, it is in clause 3 of the bill, and particularly in lines 47 and 54. The terms time frames that were provided for there within which a tribal authority had to be reconstituted and which in both instances the paragraph 4A and B there was 1 year and was passed by the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces based on requests received from the provinces changed the 1 year to 2 years. So those are the three things. The 2017 to 2018, making provision for voluntary specifically so that that council can be established. And changing the 1 year that's what all the expected change. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, police, thank you for the presentation. And then, Kumele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps just for direction, and that with this proposal that the NCOP has and if the consideration is then positive and affirming them, then to the concurrent where the committee agrees with what the NCOP has indicated should be changed, like it's resulted in the veto, we want that this then goes back to the House for approval, and it would have to be amended to go to the President for assent. However, should the committee not agree, which I doubt would be the case, we would have to go through the mediation process. Thank you, Chair.
We are running short of one member. Where's Melham today?
I don't know, Chair. She hasn't reported anything.
I thought we are the chief in Duna.
I thought he might be on his way, I think. I thought he would be on his way coming. But,
what permit is this one? There's not a person there.
What kind?
There's no party. Can you phone him? Do it. Can you phone the woman? Just phone him and to come here now. You to get a little bit confused. And then the plan works very well.
You think it's Christmas time, Chair, that you can play jokes on me?
Yeah, you must do that. Okay. Colleagues, let us then go back to. Traditional and Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Act 2018. But what did they change here anyway? Is it the date? What is the substantive issue that it is? I'm trying to understand you. I don't have a problem to endorse the date that we are late already. But is there anything substantial that has introduced? Because you shouldn't take them for a ride. They may have produced something that is very substantive, then you must consider it very wisely. You shouldn't dismiss them unnecessarily. Anything?
I didn't understand what Dr. Bessa just did.
I didn't hear him very well. It's too far from me. When doctors stay far away like this, you must always be worried.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is the system working on that side, Jay? Can you hear us from that side on the system?
Yeah, no. Try a bit now. I think I am better.
Okay. No, you are correct. The 2017 to 2018 was really those were merely technical amendments, and then the 1 year that they changed to 2 years was the other. Amendment, but the only one that that as you say may be substantial is just the one that was brought in to make sure that for the Balubedi Queenship there will be a provision that Queenship Council can be established, because the bill as it was, because it took a little bit longer than we thought it will go, take to go to Parliament, we realized that Balubedi Queenship will not be covered by those particular provisions. And that provision that is in clause the C there on the first page from line 17 was brought in just to make sure that Balubedi Queenship can also establish a council, Queenship Council.
That's the only substantive issue. But how did you miss it? It's a natural thing, unless we're thinking in this way. It's a natural thing.
It's about the timing, Chair. If the bowl went through last year, August, more or less, it would have been covered.
At the time, there were no queenship.
The queenship was officially recognized in 2016, and the provisions of the bill, as it was at the time when it was introduced, were sufficient to cover the queenship. But because the time frame said that the Queenship Council must be established within 2 years from recognition, those 2 years would have lapsed because the bill took so long to go through the system. If we didn't bring that in, and the bill became law right now, that 2 years will already have lapsed in the case of the Balubedi Queenship. So we had to bring in that provision to make sure that they can establish the council.
Mala?
Chair, does this affect any other kingship or queenship councils apart from Balubedi?
Honourable Malam, no. The others are all covered. They were already covered.
Yeah.
The provision. In fact, Balubedi was also covered. But because the bill took a little bit longer, the time frame left.
Okay.
But now they are all covered, yeah.
Okay. Malay, we are fine.
Yes, Chair, and then we just need the principal amendment in terms of the memorandum which is necessary. Otherwise,
but you are bringing it back to us for this day?
We have to check the thing with the benefits and the process requires you.
No. I think we're taking a non-sexist approach. It was consequential there. Okay. We agree?
Yeah.
Let us have a move. Honorable Duve moves. Honorable Maduleke seconds.
Thank you.
Honorable Ngwez is headed. Mele having said he's reserving his right to support or not to support.
Okay, it's fine.
But you can't be a traditional leader without supporting traditional leader.
Banche.
Okay. Can we move on then? And then the processes then will be worked out. Because we have to take it back to the chamber.
Yes.
For this on queenship. Queenship was there. It was a non-racial, non-racist approach, non-sexist approach. Okay, we'll put it in. And mine is going to stand up there and say queenship and cancer is enough. And fine. There will be no debate to that. Okay. Can we go to the web? Mine, you mustn't be taken. That's not the issue. Let us go back then. Dr. Naiju. Let us go to one. And of course, really we agree with the MCOP. And then, consequential, then I think Malala and the team will work it out. And then we'll then take it back to the chamber. I'm just worried that we'll take back to the chamber next year. It should be within the rules. The 3 days, all that must apply. And then for this one only, and then the coin and sand, then we are delaying them. Which one? Okay, colleagues, let's go back to the bill, municipal structures bill. And I think we are detaining many colleagues who know. Thomas, you are right, you are joining us.
Yes.
You are also free to join Digibit anywhere. You can remain here, but if you are busy with other work, you are free also to go and attend. Mustn't detain you unnecessarily. The committee members, six of them are here, and then they can be able to form a forum of six. but you can remain. Members of parliament must be informed about this.
Okay.
If you are not in hurry, sit down.
Okay.
Okay. You can see it. Yeah. No, that's fine. You can if you are. Oh, okay. Thank you for
why do you have to go that far?
Okay, Dr. Naidu, are you ready?
Yes.
Everything now has been reorganized accordingly. Can we then go?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members and colleagues. So, after our meeting yesterday, I think at the count, we had 15 clauses that we had to work on. And I think there's limited copies of the schedule that was worked on, Chairperson, but it's basically an update in the last column which I will speak to. So that's the one document with limited copies. And then the second document is a draft A list that was prepared in conjunction with the legal team from Parliament. So the first clause, clause one, we said that needed a definition of Municipal Public Accounts Committee, which we provided for. And the simple definition is that it makes cross-reference to Section 79A in the bill. The next clause that we had worked on was clause 6 in the bill, and which deals with the proposal that had actually come from KZN and the proposed deletion of section 12.3a from the Act, which we said we will reject. And then, which means that we will retain the present provision in the Structures Act. The same would apply to clause 7 in the bill, which we will remove. The next clause, Chairperson, deals with clause 8, and which deals with the amendment, the determination of the number of councillors. And what we provided for in the A list, Chairperson, is that we provided a whole new formulation of that section. And that reformulation basically says that, one, we will retain the original A allowing and B, which allows for the deviation from the formula that the minister determined. The new C would be the clause in the bill that allows for a deviation of not more than 20% when it comes to municipalities which are larger than 20,000 square kilometers, which wasn't really a contentious issue. And then the D part of that clause would now say that any deviation that an MEC would apply would require the concurrence of the minister. And this is, colleagues and honorable members, to maintain as far as possible the present number of councillors that we have in municipalities. That's clause 8. The next clause that we had looked at was clause 12. Which deals with by-elections and perhaps the comments that were made by Honourable Mileham, we believe, have been incorporated into the new proposal that we have before us.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 13, which deals with vacation of office, and this clause in the bill has now been revised, as we will see in the draft A list that we have before us. Clause 14 was the next clause that we had looked at, and we have revised it, taking into consideration the formulation that was provided by SALGA and the Free State, which also
included the proposal that was being made by the Western Cape province. We did not include the Without Just Cause people because we believe that it is catered for in the formulation that we have in the proposal. The next clause that we have, Chair, is clause 15. And we've revised that clause to include the proposal that was made by KZN, which also now makes reference to a committee of the council. So although the proposal that came from the Northern Cape around the oath or affirmation, we have not included it there, but we've rather said we'd include it in the code of conduct for councillors. The next clause is clause 15. Oh, sorry, I just spoke to clause 15, my apology. Clause 16. Clause 18 would be the next clause that we have worked on, and this related to ward committees and the function of speakers, and we have revised it but excluded the proposal that we had originally around the performance of ward committees, and I think Honourable Mylam had raised issues around the speaker playing a role around assessing performance of such councillors. So we've excluded that proposal. Clause 19, around full-time councillors, we've revised it to remove firstly the qualification of the 40 councillors requirement, because we believe that this can be dealt with in the policy framework for full-time councillors that the minister publishes in the government gazette. So we've also included or inserted a provision that says for the council who is also a municipal office bearer as set out in Schedule 3. So yesterday we were having this debate around, but it's actually defined in Schedule 3, which I was trying to find and I couldn't find yesterday, Chairperson. So that's clause 19. The next clause we looked at was clause 23, which deals with the establishment of ward committee. And we have revised the clause to incorporate the proposal from SALDA and Free State. Then clause 30. Before I get to clause 24, we've retained as is, although KZN has made the proposal that the impact also exercise oversight of the executive and the administration, but we believe that the present formulation in the bill provides for this, so we retained it as it is. The next clause would be clause 30, which deals with an electoral matter which was proposed by KZN, and we revised it incorporating the proposal from that province. Then it's clause 32, which is essentially the code of conduct for councillors. And the proposals that we have in here is firstly to include the oath or affirmation in the preamble to the code of the conduct, which oath or affirmation we haven't included as yet, but something that we will include. And then the various items that were sponsored by KZN, which were mostly of a technical nature, intervention being changed with interference, council property being changed to municipal property being changed. The other proposal which came from Western Cape, which asked that we look at migrating 15.3 into section or item 16 of the code, we rejected because we felt that item 15.3 is correctly placed because it fits into the scheme of breach of code that is provided for in there. And that's pretty much it, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
I'm not sure if our legal services want to assist or if you want to add anything to your chairperson, the secretary.
Thank you very much, Doctor, for the presentation. Analyzation from other legal minds. Japan, Parliament is happy. Okay.
I just wanted to clarify on clause 19. Because I don't understand the acting in quips, was started the establishment of the office of the whip to provide for election functions, term, vacation, removal, and acting groups. I don't understand that. Because my interpretation would be if the whip is removed, there's an acting whip. Yeah, if I can get it done.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, also on clause 19, we need to amend Schedule 3, clause 1 of Schedule 3. If you have a look at clause 1, it talks to a mayor, deputy mayor, speaker, etc., but it doesn't expressly include whip. So we need to then just insert the word a whip. Okay. Chair, I am a little concerned with the wording of clause 8. And I just need to know how it's going to read in the actual Structures Act, in section 20 of the Structures Act. And maybe it's because I'm trying to read, you know, I'm trying to match it into the existing, into the Principal Act. But as I read it, it then takes and replaces paragraph 4 completely. So then it would read, a deviation in terms of subsection 3 may not be more than 20% of the geographical size of the municipality if the municipality is greater than, if the geographical size of the municipality is more than 20,000 square kilometers, and if less than 35 kilometers have been determined, and any deviation must be done with the concurrence of the minister. But it doesn't take into account paragraph B of subsection 4 of the Principal Act, where if you've got more than that number, you haven't provided for constraint on the size of the deviation if there are more than 35 councillors or if it's more than 20,000 square kilometres. In other words, by replacing the entirety of paragraph 4, we're actually deleting subclause B of the existing paragraph 4, which talks to bigger councils. I'd like some clarity on that. Then I'm generally happy. I do have one other issue going back to clause 19, and that is, in our original proposal, it was proposed that only municipalities that have more than 40 councillors would be entitled to have a whip of council, and that makes sense because I can foresee what's going to happen, that this is going to become a remunerated full-time position. So if we say that a small municipality of, let's say, 10 or 15 councillors is also entitled to a whip of council, they are then going to have to fund that position that they can't afford. And I have a problem with that. So I think that we should stick to our numbers, and maybe we need to align that number back to the number that we've got in the determination in that deviation clause that we've just looked at in clause 8 of 35. In other words, we've got 35 in clause 8, we must have 35 in clause 19, because then it aligns. I'm just throwing that out there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. On clause 18, number 2, actually we must start with 1. It says on page 6 in line 46 to omit else and substitute it with 1. 2, on page 6 in line 48 to omit and to substitute else. I just don't understand it. You omit and you substitute and. Maybe I can get clarity on that one. What do you mean? Thank you.
I don't remember telling me. If you have requested, what that you requested them to amend, can we try to go cross by cross and move on? I suspect that as we come to those clauses, surely they must be able to verify the issue further. Okay. Let us then page through. These are clauses that we had a long talk discussion yesterday. And
Chair, do we have an amended B version of the bill? Then how can we do clause by clause?
Not yet.
Can't do clause by clause on an A list.
No, we
can. No, Chair, we can't. I'm sorry. With the greatest of respect, Chair, we can't do a clause by clause on an A list version of a bill, on an A list. You actually have to have the B list because it's got the actual clause that you are then going to read into the bill.
I don't feel that I have another. There are areas that are indicating what we should delete.
This
as
document, Chair.
As we move this one.
Which one have you got, Tony?
Same document.
Yeah, Chair, we can't do a clause by clause on this.
No. There's a proposed bill. This one.
Yeah, got that.
There are also amendments that are proposed on the bill.
Chair, my point is
clause by clause, and then you will use this one to assist us in areas where we have discussion. And then we can then move on that, and the A list.
No, Chair, I'm sorry. You can't do a clause by clause on an unamended bill. In other words, until this is actually now we've agreed that these are what we want to adopt. Now we have to produce a B version of the bill, and then we can do a clause by clause analysis.
Yeah, when the problem that we'll have, then we'll have.
Chair, I'm prepared to take an hour or two to adjourn and come back in an hour.
By that time, I will be in trouble.
Well, we haven't had a response from COGTA about the issues that we've raised.
But we still will have to go through the bill and check if qualifying all the changes we made in clause 18, and then we agree to the agent and then only we can incorporate.
Yeah, and we can only do a clause by clause approval on a B list bill. That's fine. I'm happy to agree with the amendment.
Yeah.
But until we do until we have a B-list bill in hand,
mm-hmm.
we cannot do clause by clause. No, Shireen, from a legal perspective, we cannot do a clause by clause. We can go through the clause by clause, but my point is we cannot do a B-list clause by clause approval until we have a B-list bill in our hand. Can we get legal advice on this, Chair?
No. We are right to go. It's just I'm worried that then will be next year.
I'm here.
Next year, March. And but that is what is going to happen now, because if we agree on the clauses now, they must go back and prepare this. And then we come back, we have a discussion. And then having that discussion, then it's law by law, it takes long. It takes long. Maybe what we should do, we can take a break, an hour, and then put it in.
Can we just agree on what we've discussed?
We are
now
going to agree on this one, and then they put it in. Once they put it in, then it's our
yeah, then I'm happy, Che.
Then we deal with that. Because we agree on that, it's A list, now it's B list, and C list, and 20 list. Yeah. But we can allow them an hour. I think an hour would suffice. Okay, let us go back to the clauses that we proposed yesterday and have a discussion. Clause 1. Any issue there?
Yeah.
On page 3, line 6, omit and agree. Can we move the second one? On page 3, after line 6, insert the following. Municipality agreed. We all have the copies. Can we move public account? Definition there of public account. In terms of section 79A, we are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Clause 6, omit, substitute.
Great.
On page 3, line 48, to omit paragraph B. Page 4. Agreed. Clause 7. No,
sorry, Chair.
Yes,
I didn't get clarity with regard to my question about the second part of that clause that is being amended.
Sorry,
we're on clause 8, aren't we?
Yeah, fine. Clause 8.
Oh, sorry, clause 7. Okay. Sorry.
Clause 7, okay. Dr. Naidu.
Thank you, Chair. So, this clause here was basically sponsored by Northern Cape. And what it essentially means that if there is a huge municipality, and if there is less than 35 councillors in that municipality, that municipality is able to deviate by up to 20% if less than 35 councillors have been generated by formula for that municipality. There's just 9 municipalities that fall into this band of greater than 20,000 square kilometers. So if that is a large municipality with less than 35, the MEC can go in there and deviate by not more than 20%.
Chair, the section and specifically subsection 3 doesn't only apply to municipalities in that category. It applies to all municipalities. In other words, this subsection 4 talks about deviations in a metro, for argument's sake, in terms of the number of councillors. Now, unless we put limits on the amount of deviation in those municipalities as well, which is what 4B does, the existing 4B does.
In the bill, the bill that was introduced, right, on page 4, the way it's drafted at present, it's as if the whole of subsection 4, 24,
yes,
will be replaced, and we will just have that subsection 4. So the proposed draft A list, it fixes that, and it retains A and B, and we're just adding C and D. So A and B of the Principal Act of Section 24 will be retained, and C and D is just added.
Oh, okay, I see what
so
you're saying.
So I think that answers the problem. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on.
But perhaps also, Chair, perhaps an omission from our side is that being determined for the local municipality, okay? Because if you look at districts, a lot of districts would fall into that category of more than 20,000 kilometers, but the intention is for local municipality. So, Honorable Milam, if you want to speak, if you want to peek into my, this is the original.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. So the A and the B
will
be retained, all right? And remember yesterday I said that although we had deleted that in the bill, it is necessary now because of the issues we found out in Cape Town, Buffalo City, etc., etc.
Sorry, Chair, just coming back to then, if we are doing that, then I think we've got a wording problem in C, as proposed in the A list. Because if you read it, the existing 4 says a deviation in terms of subsection 3 may be no more than, and then you'd go to C, and you'd say a deviation in terms of, it doesn't read correctly, we need to redraft that. That's the first thing. Then the second thing around this is that it doesn't actually make logical sense So I would then change it to say a deviation in terms of subsection 3 may be no more than, and that's the first part of it, and
okay,
then we'd start C, 20%,
yeah,
if the geographical size of the municipality is greater than,
yeah,
and if, okay.
Yeah.
Clause 8. Clause 12. Thank you. 5. Can we move then to clause 14? Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't turn it off earlier. Chair, I'm a little concerned, and it just occurred to me now, otherwise I would have brought this up earlier, but when does the MEC get to take this decision? In other words, on what basis can the MEC take this decision? There would need to be a representation made to the MEC. The MEC would have to apply his mind and then take a decision to appoint a person if there has been a refusal or absence of the municipal manager. It can't just be, you know, well, I'm sending someone because I think it's... I just think there needs to be some kind of check or balance in there, and maybe it's... I don't know if you can put in on good cause shown or something like that, or I don't know if that's justifiable legally. Or must, after having applied his mind to the matter, or something.
Chair, let us apply our minds to it. In the next version of the bill, we would try and propose something in there. Look at perhaps the on good cause shown or something that's more pragmatic. In how that can be activated.
Yes.
Still on that one, Chief, and maybe we also need to look into the who informs the MEC, because the MEC, when he's at his office in the province, he cannot prophesy that there's a problem in the municipality. And the speaker is refusing, the municipal manager is refusing to call the meeting or the elections, then how does the information go to the MEC? I think it must also be reflected.
Okay. We should try. I think lawyers will find a way. Otherwise, they have to throw bones and push municipal managers refusing without any cause. I think it will be a problem. So, but you can throw bones. Law allows that. But to throw bones. Then you see when he's angry, he justifies. Let us move to clause, the new clause 15. Clause 14, as they prepare a bill list, they will work on it. They will find the acceptable legal term to cover the concerns that there should be some guide, otherwise MNCs also can abuse their power. And then you shouldn't allow that to happen. A new clause, public meeting. ABB. We are happy. Any other view? Can we move? Clause 18.
Sorry, Chair. Before we go to clause 18, yesterday we had a discussion about clause 16, about the quorum, and I don't see that brought in here. We had a discussion about the requirement to determine a quorum and when that requirement is necessary.
So, Chair, yesterday I think the debate or the concern that was raised was two things. The first was, so what is the number? And we said that the number is the number that the MEC determines, and which number is published in the Section 12 notice. So that was the one thing. The second thing was that, so at the time of voting, right? What is the number that is considered, or the numbers that were at the beginning of the meeting, are they still the same at the time of the voting? And we believe that in terms of section 31 of the Structures Act, as it is there presently, provides for the concern that was raised. So, and it reads thus, a majority of the councillors must be present at the meeting of the council before a vote may be taken on any matter. So that number that is provided for in the section 12 notice is the number that is required at the time of voting. But we believe anything more detailed that may be required around this specific matter may already be provided for in the standing rules and orders of the municipality. And if not, we need to find a way of how that finds expression in the standing rules of order. But we believe that the concerns raised yesterday are largely taken care of in the present formulation of the provisions in the Act as it is.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Chatterton, to take us back on those 15. I don't know how we are going to do this, that there must be a time frame for notifying the public about the council meeting. Because if we leave it like that, I'm not sure whether maybe it will be on the rules of the council or whatever, but it should be taken care of. Because if we leave it like this, the council will just call a meeting and notify the public within 2 hours. And there's no way where they will be bound to say you have violated
the act of the year. I mean the act here. Okay. I think the point is raised there. That you don't have council meeting, just convene an hour and say the public was informed.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. If I may offer an explanation that says I think the Constitution or the Act itself prescribes that a municipality must have rules and orders. When you look at those rules and orders, they provide specifically, or every municipality specifically, that they can't have a meeting convened within a if you have a special meeting, in some cases it says 48 hours, in some cases it says 5 days. If you have a scheduled meeting, you need to give a 7-day notice. So it's in there, it's covered. So there's no way municipal council can simply wake up in the morning and hold a meeting.
Does it cater for the new clause that we are inserting in this structure of public notice, not the notice of the councillors themselves?
Chair, the Systems Act prescribes that the municipal council must notify, so I think it's section 21A prescribes that the municipality must put a notice in its notice board, the website, and so on. And typically, municipal councils will do that at the start of the financial year or at the start of the calendar year. They put up those notices. Obviously, for special meetings, you can't do that. But it is described.
Yeah.
The fact that the 29A speaks about a manner determined indicates that, you know, it has to be, this will be set out before the time. So we, to avoid a scenario where it's just called 25, an hour before the time and no one knows about it. So there must be a predetermined manner, or it must be set out how these meetings must be called. And I think we won't put the detail in the legislation to avoid bulk in the legislation, but it has to be determined prior to the time.
Okay. Okay, let's move. 1290. A week.
So, Chair, we have removed the qualification of 40 councillors because in terms of Section 18 or 20 of the Structures Act, 18, the Minister determines a policy framework for the designation of full-time councillors. And we believe that that vehicle is the appropriate vehicle to provide, if any, a cap for the size of municipal council that requires a full-time councillor, and not through the legislation, the primary legislation that we have before. So this policy framework, Chairperson, was last developed or put out in 2011, and if there needs to be a revision of any ceiling limit or threshold for the appointment of full-time persons, it should be done through that vehicle and not in the primary legislation or through the board that we have before us. So I can share the policy framework if needs to be.
Well,
I think
that's
right. Chair, I accept what Dr. Naidu is saying. I don't agree with it, because it's far too easy for the minister to change his mind on a policy framework. Whereas when it's embedded in the legislation, it's a decision of Parliament, it's then legally, it's a legal imperative on him to stick to the rules. So, you know, we might have a minister in a couple of years' time or next year who decides, well, every council can have a full-time whip. And that has financial implications. So while I accept that there is this policy framework, I don't think it is necessarily harmful to include a prescription. We do it in other areas. Why should we not do it here? And say the number of councillors that a municipality must have before they can have a whip. I don't have a problem with that, but. Yeah, let me leave it at that.
Like, don't leave it to the minister to decide.
No.
Then the law must change it.
Yes.
What does the law? What do you want us to say with the law?
Chair, I think that
it should. Five, six, seven,
I would say, first of all, it shouldn't say who has. It should be which has. But I would leave it at 40. I think 40 is a good number.
Anything less than 40, no, we. Okay. Municipality legislators that are less than 40, they have whips.
We're talking about municipal councils, Chair, we're not talking about legislature.
No, I'm just saying, I'm trying to get a logic. Okay. The big budget.
And the logic.
But the local authority, they do have their own revenues. Provincial legislation has got no own revenues. Okay,
Chair, thank you very much. I think the point that Mr. Member has raised that we're talking about municipal council, not legislation, is correct. Because now the point we are raising, that now municipalities have revenues and legislatures do not have revenues.
Their own revenue.
But maybe it's 20% of the municipalities have got good revenue and the rest is worse. So let's not open that debate. I also agree that we stick to the number 40, because if we leave it as a discretion of the minister to decide, you know, we know these NPCs and ministers we are dealing with. It's not someone else who is going to come from heaven. We know that some decisions are taken, based on political motivated, you know, circumstances. So it's better that we stick, we put the number. So I agree with putting a number. We don't leave it, you know, flexible.
I think the point to be aware of also, Chairperson, is that the minister determines a policy framework for full-time councillors that includes speakers, it includes mayors, it includes deputy mayors, exco members, etc., etc. So if you're going to put a qualification for whoops, you need to think about the implications for the other office bearers that I've just mentioned now.
Mm-hmm.
And don't want to also be seen as discriminatory for whoops and not dealing with the other office bearers that I've just mentioned. Now, when the minister publishes or determines this policy framework, I mean, you'd want to also, it is done through a process of consultation, right? And perhaps the comments being made now around the qualification around the 40 should be made, or representation be made then. But I think that if you're going to put in a qualification for just whoops, there needs to be justification for it as to why you're not doing it for other officers, for mayors, deputy mayors, speakers, etc. I mean, so yeah, I'd leave that as there as well.
Sorry, Chair, but we did have qualifications in the past in this Act where we said that certain municipalities could only have, for example, a speaker who may be referred to as a mayor. That was under the old plenary system. We had that in the Act, and that was not considered discriminatory. We had qualifications that said that in certain councils you can have this and this and this. So why are we now saying that because a council of a certain size is of a certain size, why are we saying that it's discriminatory if we say that they can't have a whip?
You know, the point I'm making, Chairperson, is that why aren't we saying that in council of 40 councillors or more, you may have a full-time speaker or a full-time mayor? Presently, you can have a full-time mayor, speaker, etc. in councils with less than 40 councillors.
Yeah.
So there is no qualification. That's the point I'm making.
Chair, my point is this, that we allow creep in role designation and the designation of full-time councillors. And I've seen it year in and year out where who is regarded as full-time. So we started out with mayors and speakers were full-time. Then we got mayors, deputy mayors and speakers. Then we got mayors, deputy mayors, MMCs. Then we got mayors, deputy mayors, MMCs and chairpersons of committees. And so on and so forth. Now we've got chairpersons of MPAC. MPAC sometimes meets only once a quarter. But suddenly they're a full-time councillor. Now, this has a financial impact. And as soon as we start saying, well, whoops, are allowed in every single council, even if there are only 10 councillors, they are entitled to a councillor. I guarantee that in the next designation, we will start seeing, because we're allowing the minister to determine the framework, we will start seeing that whips will be designated as full-time positions. And I'm willing to put my head on the block about it.
Not a whip of the council.
Yes.
Whip of party.
No, whip of council will be designated a full-time. And then in 5 years' time, we'll be back here, and we'll say every party may be entitled to a whip, and those whips in a couple of years it'll sneak in through the back door through this policy framework that those whips are entitled to be full-time councillors. I can see this happening, and we need to start taking responsibility and holding our municipalities to a tighter financial responsibility, and in doing so we need to make sure that we don't allow this scope creep, which means that only bigger councils should be entitled to have a full, well, should be entitled to have a whip of council.
Sparka.
Well,
thanks. Thank you very much, Chair. While we unfortunately were the ones that proposed the removal of the reference to 40 on the very same basis as advanced by the department, because it would be necessary to also reflect on the impact on other what we call municipal office bearers in this amendment. And we certainly would have difficulties in selecting whoops today, whereas there is a framework for other municipal office bearers. It would be important that we create equity, Chair, and that's why we say issues of remuneration are dealt with separately, and perhaps we should stick to that from a remuneration point of view, that it be dealt with separately. Thank you.
Okay. You know, they want to come back to it again. We'll sleep over this one. And then it seems that this does assist to have some cutoff. But we'll come back to it. Because by then, if the minister decides or whoever decides to have a whip, council whip in Dandi, how many councillors in Dandi?
Just saying, Chair, when I'm the Minister of COG for next year, there are going to be no full-time councillors.
Even in metros.
Nah, we'll see.
Actually, I think you're advertising not to be elected. Okay. We'll work it out at the principal level, just to ensure that we guide also the MSC. I think because there are laws that exist in that guide that I think they can assist us to still address the issue of whip. I thought that the whip of a council won't take long, that whip will be a full-time council. I'm not talking about the whip of the party, the whip of the council. It's very clear in my view that it will be a full-time council.
You see? There's the scope creep right there, Chair.
No, I'm just saying that it makes sense to me. You can't have a whip of cancer who's not a full-time cancer. Because otherwise you don't need to put them in. If you put them in, I think there's a serious responsibility to carry it out. And that's why I thought, Madam, we were raising the issue. That big councillors, 40 above, can have a whip. I think that's an issue that we are raising. And because it's an office bearer, as we are arguing now, then one way or another, the general councillors will find a way of doing that. And I thought the issue that we're saying that not every council can have a whip. I think that's what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
And therefore, and then the size of council, because back in your mind, you understood very well that there will be payment for a whip of a council. Okay.
Leave it there.
Okay.
Let them ask
you. No,
okay. Okay. Let's move to clause 23.
Yeah.
Clause 23.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Where are you now?
We're on page 7.
Page 7 of the A list.
Page 7.
Acting with. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No. But that's the thing, you as a National Assembly, we have acting with. I thought they're acting with already today. Okay. Salka?
Thanks, Chair. Well, yes, the question was asked. In fact, what the amendment is trying to cater for two scenarios. One where the person is incapacitated, as an example, and unable to deliver on the work's function. There's provision made for an acting person. The second option is the person has been removed, but as an interim stopgap measure, there's an acting arrangement
before proper election of a whip. So those are the two scenarios that are covered respectively in the amendment, Chair.
Duba is accepting the explanation. I want to tell you what I will be calling it. The acting whip is Duba. But it's not a payment for the general. It's just work, a volunteer. It's too many now. You must do this work. No, that's fine. I think it makes sense, really. Page 7 on the list 1. And then line 41F is where the acting whip is all about. In case there are some problems, if he's not there for 2 months, he's gone to America to study for a month, then there must be an acting person in the country. If it's not a paid position, it would be easy to have acting people there. Let's move on. Page 5 of the number area. Vacancy there, within 14 days when employee manager does not. I think we've discussed it again.
Yeah, Jay, I have no problem with the actual idea here, but I have a problem with the wording.
Okay.
Because if you read it, it says, if the municipal manager concerned does not inform the chief electoral officer of the vacancy referred to in paragraph A, the MEC for local government in the province must inform the chief electoral officer of the vacancy within 14 days where the municipal manager does not. So I just want to understand in my head that the MM has 14 days to inform the chief electoral officer. Now he doesn't inform the chief electoral officer within those 14 days. Now the MEC has got a further 14 days to inform the chief electoral officer of the vacancy, as I understand it. But I'm not sure that our wording is clear on that. And also I think that where the municipal manager does not is redundant, because we've already said where a municipal manager.
Lawyers can work out on the language to make it easy for us.
I just think that we.
It seems the way it's phrased.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Find a way to assist us too.
Chair, then
but,
just.
But you accept the logic.
I accept the logic. I absolutely accept the logic that there's 14 days and then there's a further 14 days.
Yeah.
What happens if the MEC doesn't act?
The minister must act.
Let me give you an example. We had a vacancy in Buffalo City where the speaker refused to act, the municipal manager refused to act, the MEC, it took nearly 9 months to declare that vacancy, and I had to write a letter to Minister Van Rooyen at the time to get pressure on the MEC to declare the vacancy. So what happens when an MEC doesn't act?
Dr. Naidoo.
Yeah. Chair, look, the IEC colleague is not here, but we will look at it. If it is not provided for in the law, we will try and put something in the
okay.
List.
Yeah. I think that will help. Because if the local one don't act, the provincial don't act, someone must be able to force people to do their work. Otherwise, they may remain them tattooed with the vacant for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then you are waiting on the list. I know that you are waiting on the list to go in there.
Yeah.
With the, that would be dangerous.
Especially
on the
hand
municipalities, I think that's
a good
Just came in my mind.
that they must make it difficult for you to come in when you're supposed to come. Keep on delaying for 9 months, MLM, for 9 months or 2 months.
No, way too much.
When a vacancy is there already, it shouldn't take so long.
Mm.
It shouldn't take so long. And, okay, let's move. Cross 30. Any new thing on clause 30? I think it's clear. 82. Sub 5 is the speaker of the country. Any issue there that you want to deal with? It tells us what we discussed yesterday. Sub 5, clause 33, 32. Dube, are you with us? That must not be the case. Acting in this must always be on top of the situation. Clause 32. Five. No issue. Let's move on then. Okay, let's move. Sub 3. Of 35. The speaker must inform the MNC for local government in the province within 14 days. Fine. No other issue. Guess what?
Chair, I'm not sure where this fits in here, but there is one issue that arises time and time and time again, and that is where the speaker does not take action for breaches of the code. Where breaches of the code are reported to the speaker, there's nothing that I can see where the speaker. Yeah.
That's not, clause 32, the insertion of number 3. So on page 17, we will insert a sub 5 to item. So it speaks about if the speaker of the council is the alleged perpetrator or the speaker refuses to authorize an investigation, then the obligation is in place of the council to establish a special committee.
Chair, can I add an item or a line, maybe it's sub 6, where we say, because let me give you an example. There is often political interference to prevent a matter being investigated, a breach of the code of conduct being investigated, that any failure to investigate may result in the MEC implementing Section 106 of the Systems Act, a Section 106 investigation. It may trigger Section 106 of the Systems Act, which refers to investigations of misconduct in municipalities.
Thanks, Chair. If I may provide some clarity, if you look at the Code of Conduct as it stands now, I think it's item 14 of the Code of Conduct already provides for the MEC to investigate a misconduct or alleged misconduct by council. And then that is separate from Section 106. Section 106 deals with issues of maladministration, fraud and corruption in a municipality.
Sorry, which section?
Item 14 of the Code of Conduct.
Talks to councillors in arrears.
No, it's 16. Yeah, it's 16. It already provides for the MEC to take some action.
Perhaps the question might be that how does the issue get to the MEC? But the
okay,
MEC
fair enough.
Is already
okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough, covered. Thank you.
Okay. We are true. No other creative idea. Do we are hating? Words we are hating.
What was this municipality that does not charge services to the areas under the traditional in some instances most of the majority of councillors are residing in those areas? Then what do we do? Because you know the structures have put together different now the status quo of councillors are not the same. That was rural areas, you know, and so on. Now you say because the councillors, you know, for example, I'm a councillor in that particular area. I'm willing to pay, but if the municipality has not decided that that particular area must be charged in terms of services, then what do you say? What do you say in that regard?
It's a big problem. That
no, I'm telling. No, here we are not theorizing. I'm saying practical things. There's not a few.
You can't be in areas with council unless you have an account. If you live in an area where the municipal council doesn't charge for services, even if you're a councillor, it's not an issue. The code of conduct is dealing with situations where the councillor has an account with the municipality and they are in arrears for more than 3 months. So that becomes an issue, that becomes a problem.
Not village councillor.
No, he's preparing for 2021. He's from some villages where he's making sure that tomorrow don't charge him. That's fine.
I'm not sure whether this may cover issues of overpayment. You know, sometimes council overpays itself. I know that KZN has dealt with some things related to that. Whether are they not allowed also to owe for more than 3 months? Because I think the policy allows the municipality to recover that money. If maybe they were overpayment. I'm not sure whether this may cover that. Because I know of a municipality where money has not been recovered even now. And that was an overtime for 2016 for full-time councillor. So it's now even above 3 months, years now. And I know they'll go to an extent of writing it off towards the end of the term of office.
You're speaking about the salary?
Yes. Okay, now let's come back to the bill. Let's come back to the bill now. Because I think then what would happen, the team will work it out. Dr. Naidu, is possible. Legal from Parliament of, is it possible to do it?
Sorry, I'm from the State Law Advisor.
I know. But you don't take anything except to accept. Because otherwise it doesn't assist us to do it here in cabinet, turn it down again.
Yes.
Yeah. But
Is it possible for us to do it? Dr. Naidu? If we can't do it today, next year, February. Yes, Dr. Naidu.
So by what
because
time?
We have accepted the clauses anyway, generally. But as Melham was saying, that in to be procedural in terms of the rules, we have to do it that way. And then we'll take us 30 minutes, Melham, after a bill list is provided.
No, maybe it's longer than that, but...
I don't think so.
Let's see.
I think now we are persuaded anyway. We don't want to be a counselor again, and then it would be far better for you not to be a counselor again. Dr. Naidu.
So, by what time would you want to reconvene, Chair?
The session started 3. It started 2.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's not a normal Wednesday. For what? For the report? What do you want to do, the members?
Chair, I'm thinking that
okay.
By 1 o'clock we could have a revised bill.
By 1 o'clock.
A B-list bill.
A B-list bill.
Okay. B-list, and then if you then by 1, 1:15 we are here. By 2 we'll be through. There's no other clause that I see it here except the one that was already accepted. It's possible. No, but I'm just saying that we have already dealt with all the clauses that are of our concern. One other clause will really we'll just move on. Let us try. Otherwise, we'll visit you in February next day. But it's far better to just come to complete. And then by 1 we are here, and then the later will be 22. Madam, agree?
1 o'clock, eh?
1 o'clock we are here. We'll take us only 30 minutes now. Okay, thank you very much. Let us adjourn until 1.
Sorry, Chair, can we just address a couple of other issues before we adjourn?
Oh, other issues for a committee?
Yeah, Chair.
Okay, no problem.
Chair, the first one is, where are we on the tagging of this bill? We have an update on that.
Yes,
Okay. Okay, thank you. And then the second issue, Chair, is we haven't done anything with the Systems Act. We're going to miss that deadline of the 30th of March.
But we have tried our level best. Department, if they're not doing anything, what do we do? I think they will apply for extension.
Well, I think, Chair, that a message needs to go to the Minister that the Parliament is going to be unable to deal with that issue of the Systems Act prior to the deadline because of the delays that are coming from his department.
And then, of course, also we're taking the bill as it is, generally.
Chair, I have no problem with that. I'm just saying that there are processes that we have to go through, and those take time.
But you can open Parliament open early next year.
Okay.
Before the state of the nation as well. In terms of the rules, we can then have time to finalize it. When we meet there, we finalize it and we take it to the chair and do that. But the department must work it out, really. We have expressed our view several times, and we can't do more effort than of it. The department must present it, and we can work it out.
Put up an idea.
Okay. As one, let us get together. Dr. Naidu and the team, I think you can assist us on that. And then we see then how long we take.
With
a bill list, please, yeah. A now is here. We have worked through A. B will be worked out. And then from there, then, we will see what we want to do. I think if you are here to answer, help us one more job. I don't think there's anything new now, unless, again, you talk about many other stories that you don't know.
Button here on your sleeve.
Oh, thanks.
Three.
I can get myself in my municipality.